This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast. I'm Anand Krishnan, your host for today. The border crisis with China and eastern Ladakh that began in early May 2020 is nowhere near resolution after 1 year of tensions. In this episode, we look at the situation along the line of actual control in Ladakh 1 year on and ask what it means for relations with China and the broader security challenges it poses for India. How has the past year and the Ladakh crisis changed how the Indian armed forces approach guarding the frontiers and deployments along the border? And what are the demands on India's resources as the LAC turns live? Is India ready to face a two-front challenge from China and Pakistan? And what options does India have? Helping us answer these questions is Sushant Singh, who is a senior fellow at the Center for Policy Research in New Delhi and writes extensively on defense issues. Sushant, May 5th, 2020 is when officially, at least we know that there were reported incidents on the line of actual control in Pangong Lake and in the Galwan Valley. It's been more than 1 year now amid this terrible second wave of COVID-19. Obviously, the LAC situation has faded from the headlines. But just to remind our listeners, is it fair to say that we are nowhere near the end of this crisis? In January and February, we had the first disengagement that was announced in the north and south banks of Pangong Lake. But since February and until now May, we've heard very little about the other areas such as Depsang and others where we know both sides have been in talks. So 1 year on, Sushant, is it fair to say that we are still in the middle of the LAC crisis with China?
Yeah, thank you, Anand. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I think you are right. Since it has been 1 year, but the crisis still remains unresolved. As you just said, there were five areas of ingress or contention between India and China in Ladakh. Starting from north to south, there were Depsang, Hot Springs, Gogra, Pangong, the Kailash Range of the South Bank, and Demchok. Out of these five, what we have seen is that only the Pangong Lake, North Bank and South Bank being the Kailash Range, that has been resolved in February. In all the other areas, the Chinese ingress still remains. So that's the situation which we have currently. Does it look like ending? Going by the statements from the Chinese side, no. They have very clearly refused to engage on the other areas. Some of the last statements in April, early April, were very tense, very terse. And they, in fact, almost said, you know, we really don't want to talk about all this. And the fact that India is badly stuck in fighting the pandemic, you know, and it's really engulfed us in a big way, seems to have also weakened our hand in that situation, where we really are not in a position to assert ourselves, or either diplomatically or militarily, when we are really fighting with the backs to our wall.
It seems to me, Sushant, please differ with me if you have a different view, but it seems that China really doesn't seem to be in a hurry at all to change the situation. Just to refer to some of the statements that you just mentioned, it seems that the view from Beijing is that they keep repeating that in their view, the boundary dispute is just a part of the overall relationship, and they feel that normalcy should be restored now. India has been publicly consistently saying that can't happen unless the LAC is resolved. But at the same time, amid the surge, we have been importing more from China because we don't have any other alternatives. So it's, in a way, it's been difficult for us to freeze every other aspect of the relationship. So does it seem to you that China is quite happy to leave the LAC as it is? And would that consequently mean that the LAC is live? And that's a fundamentally different situation from what we had before 2020, where obviously you had patrolling, you had pockets of differences, but broadly speaking, these were differences that would come and then we would try and resolve them and they would go away. These weren't differences that were, in a way, continuing to exist. So in that sense, are we looking at a live LAC? And would you agree with the view that China is happy to have a live LAC?
Clearly, that's the you seem to be what you are saying is clearly also the assessment of the Indian Armed Forces, because the new deployment that the Indian Armed Forces has done in the middle sector in Uttarakhand, Himachal Pradesh, and in the northern sector in Ladakh, clearly point to a reassessment of the Chinese intention, and as you said, a more live LAC, a more hot LAC, an LAC where there's always a fear, always a danger that the Chinese forces, the PLA, could attempt anything. That clearly seems to be the Indian military assessment based on the new deployments that they have recently undertaken. Very clearly, going by, as you said, the last two statements, the last two engagements at the core commander level, the Chinese seem to be in no intention, no hurry to find a solution to the crisis. They perhaps wanted only the Kailash range thing to be resolved, where the Indian and Chinese tanks were barely a few meters apart. Other than that, Gogra, Hot Springs, Depsang, Demchok, they really don't seem to be keen at all to resolve this. And Indians are worried that the same Chinese intentions, Chinese aggression could be seen both in the middle sector as well as in the eastern sector. And that's why they've kind of done these redeployments.
What we want to do in this episode is take a step back from these specific points on the LAC and kind of ask, what does this change situation mean for India more broadly? Now, obviously, Sushant, as you mentioned, the Indian Armed Forces are looking at this differently. What is this going to mean in terms of our resources? Manning a hot LAC or live LAC is obviously different from what it was in the past. So do we have the resources to deal with this situation? And I also want to get you in on the broader two-front challenge, which you've written about recently in a briefing paper for the Stimson Center, which we linked to below this podcast. But what I would like to get your thoughts on, Sushant, is what does this mean from a practical material point of view? On the one hand, it's easy to say that, you know, we're going to be deploying in greater numbers across the LAC in many areas. But what would that mean in terms of the resources that we have?
Yeah, so in terms of, there are two or three ways of looking at it. The first way to look at it is can Indians really deploy on a hot LAC, on an active LAC, the way they are deployed on the line of control with Pakistan, or the kind of deployment that we saw through whole of 2020 in Ladakh. Now, to make those kinds of deployments would clearly mean that India would have to pull away some of its dedicated resources away from the Pakistan border, mm-hmm. away from the line of control, or from other sectors on the Western theater against Pakistan. Even now, Anant, as you are aware, a new division, a Rashtri Rifles force called the division, has been inducted in Ladakh to look at areas south of Pangong, and that has been moved from the Jammu sector. Very clearly, that's a call that has been taken, that we are going to move this force away from here. And as you know, Rashtri Rifles was a counterinsurgency force, but it has been deployed in those sectors. So clearly, we are looking at a stretching of the resources. The resources of the Indian Armed Forces, particularly the army, are overstretched if they have to guard every single inch or yard or kilometer of the area in Ladakh. And I don't mean to say that they have to be deployed there. Even if they have to keep it under observation, even if they have to dominate it by patrolling, even if they have to somehow manage to keep the Chinese away, it is already straining the Indian Armed Forces, and it is going to strain them further. To my mind, the intention right now seems to be from the Indian Armed Forces that they can somehow hold the line, so that they do not, so that they prevent any further Chinese ingress across the LAC. But even that activity, even that action, is going to put a strain on the kind of resources that the Indian Armed Forces can devote, and is going to take those resources, divert those resources away from Pakistan, which was in some sense the primary military threat that India had always looked at over the last 25, 30 years.
Does this approach, Sushant, assume that the two fronts, the Pakistan front and China front, are not linked when you're diverting resources from one to another? Obviously, it's unavoidable. But I would like to get your thoughts on this. It's something that you've written about. How much has Indian planning accounted for the fact that, obviously, we know that the China-Pakistan military relationship is deepening? We know that there's been lots of debate on the two-front challenge that India faces. Is there cognizance of the fact that that is something that appears more immediate and real, or are we still approaching the two fronts as two entirely separate theaters in how we are dealing with Pakistan and China?
So the two-front collusive threat, it can be seen in two ways, Anant, as you said. You know, some people look at it as Pakistan as a subset of the China China problem, and many others see them as collusive, but two separate theaters. I think till now the Indian Armed Forces, even as of now, look at these two as two separate theaters, but where they could act in collusion. The two countries, the two militaries could act in collusion. They do not see Pakistan as a subset of the China problem. And I'll give you the reason. The reason is very simple. All throughout 2020, the Pakistani army never mobilized itself, whether in Kashmir or elsewhere, to put any pressure on India. And there have been some unconfirmed reports from the Pakistani National Security Advisor's office, the de facto National Security Advisor, Mohid Yusuf's office, that there was some Chinese pressure on them to actually mobilize their forces, but they resisted that pressure and did not mobilize. So it's clearly that Pakistan is not fully a subset of the China problem, but there are two separate theaters that the Indian military planners are planning to deal with. Has the Chinese threat become more live after last year? Yes, definitely. Because before 2020, as you know, no soldiers had lost their lives since 1975. There were no rounds were fired. But this time, you know, not only were rifles fired, there were also rocket launchers fired, as you are aware, on the southern bank of Kailash, on the southern bank of Pangong. Mm. And this time, because of the level of deployment, the kind of deployment, and the nature of deployment that the PLA undertook, the Indian belief, a lot of people in the Indian establishment believed that diplomatically India will be able to ward off any military threat from China. Mm. I think that belief lies destroyed now. And there is a growing acceptance to the fact that India would have to be militarily prepared at some level to deal with the Chinese challenge. Now, being military prepared does not necessarily mean that India wants to go and fight a conventional, full-fledged conventional war with China. It could also mean deterring China from undertaking any activity. Mm. It could also mean that India would want to just ensure that the Chinese do not come in and capture any territory which could embarrass the Indians. Mm. I think that is what clearly has been the change in thinking over the last year. Since this crisis began.
What options does India have, Sushant? I think you have hinted at the fact that it is inevitable that India would have to try and keep one front calm as much as it can, since it just pretty much cannot deal with two at the same time. From your understanding, what option does that leave India in terms of coming to some kind of understanding? Should India focus on bettering relations with Pakistan that seem to be forever in an endless cycle of reaching out versus crisis and then reaching out and then a crisis again? Do you think that the ship has sailed in trying to come to what many former Indian officials like to call a new modus vivendi with China, that the 1988 model no longer works because of the events we've seen over the last year, because of the fact that as we've been discussing the LAC is live, looking at these two different challenges, in your personal view, where do you think it's likelier that India may have some success in coming to some kind of understanding?
Yeah, very clearly, Anant, I think you rightly summed it up. That number one, the Indians do not have the economic or the military wherewithal to tackle on both the fronts at the same time. If there's a collusive threat where even if Pakistan mobilizes and China is putting pressure on the line of actual control, Indians would be under tremendous pressure and would not know how to respond to it in terms of the kind of resources that they can generate, and resources in terms of whether it is the fighter aircraft, whether it is in the navy, whether it is on the land borders, whether it is even in terms of spares, ammunition, everything. Even with this little bit of mobilization in Ladakh, as we are aware, Indians had to go for a heavy amount of emergency purchases just to do the bare minimum. So a two-front collusive threat, military threat, would actually, you know, not stretch, but actually break India. India would not know how to tackle it. And therefore, the solution lies in finding peace with either China or with Pakistan. You cannot actually afford to fight a two-front war. We are not we do not have the wherewithal to do that, especially at the level at which China is there, and the fact that Pakistan is militarily a very decent country. It's not militarily a pushover, or it's not a small country. So the answer lies in finding peace with one of the two countries. I think finding peace with China at this point in time, especially with the way the West is looking at China, seems to be clearly a more difficult proposition. Considering also that India has looked at China as a strategic adversary, as somebody which is trying to dominate Asia, somebody which is trying to dominate South Asia. And I don't think that the Indian political leadership is willing to concede that kind of subservience or that kind of dominance to China. They don't want to be subservient to Beijing. In that sense, the only option that remains is to find peace with Pakistan. And that is what we have seen, whether it is by the involvement of the UAE or by the involvement of the Saudis, that India has been trying, India and Pakistan have been holding these back channel talks. And those back channel talks, as we can see now, very clearly emanated because of this pressure of the two front collusive threat, which Indians realized they could not handle militarily or economically, and therefore they needed to talk to Pakistan. But will the talk succeed? As of now, from what the reports in Pakistani media over the last week or so suggest, that the Pakistanis are getting extremely impatient, and that they are worried that the Indians are not keeping part of this deal. So as you said, you know, this is India-Pakistan talk, not talk, fight, not fight, you know, is a cycle which has gone on for too long. We should just hope that the cycle breaks and there is some kind of peace. But really, we don't know what happens between these two countries. It's very hard to predict. But there is a strategic stake for India, strategic reason for India to actually have peace with Pakistan, or to pursue at least peace with Pakistan at this stage.
Finally, Sushant, coming to what options India has to mitigate this threat on two levels. Before we come to balancing relationships that India can look at, if we can look at internally in terms of our own military, the reforms that have been in place and people have been talking about, can you speak first about that in terms of what India can do with the resources we have at the moment, and in terms of the reforms that have been in place, the modernization that's been in place going on for years, what is it that India can do in the near term, in the short term, to more efficiently mitigate this threat?
Yeah, one is clearly, of course, you have to get more bang for the buck. The fact that the Indian expenditure is skewed towards non-capital expenditure, right, where you really do not buy much equipment but pay a lot for human resources, a lot of money goes in pensions, salaries, and just keeping the armed forces afloat, rather the army afloat. Army is the big money guzzler. So there has to be a way in which India has to find up, because the share of the budget of the Indian Defence Forces really is not going to increase. Indian economy is under strain, and in the short run, in the next couple of years, we do not see any way that the money is going to increase. So they will have to find a way in which they can get more bang for the buck. Some of this stuff, like leasing of big military equipment, big military platforms, has started because they really don't have the money to buy or commit to buying stuff. So they can use it for a few years and then go back and return the equipment. Those are the kind of small measures that have been instituted, but there has to be a rationalization of the armed forces, where the numbers in some form or the other will have to come down. That would mean greater modernization. That would mean bringing in greater technology. That would mean more educated manpower in the armed forces. That would mean greater integration of the three services. That would mean more modern structures, like the Chinese did 3-4 years ago. Creating these integrated theater commands, bringing all the forces together. That would mean a more proactive leadership, proactive political leadership, which takes the military along and undertakes these almost root and branch reforms in that sense, where a new military for the 21st century is created. Also, the fact that the Chinese military is moving on to a technologically completely different path, you know, the way they are using all these new technologies, whether it is cyber, whether it is drones, whether it is, you know, unarmed weaponry, artificial intelligence. Indians will have to act very, very quickly and very, very fast to catch up. And I think that's where the big disadvantage lies for India in that sense. And that's where they will need to pull up. So to summarize, you know, you need to get the skew in your defense spending needs to be set right. You need to somehow cut down on your manpower. You need to bring in more technology. You need to be in tune with whatever new newer technologies are coming into place, and you need to integrate and find newer defense structures, more modern defense structures to operate under a very committed political leadership. I think those are the steps that would need to be taken immediately if India has to somehow find a way of mitigating this challenge.
And finally, Sushant, in terms of relationships, external relationships, obviously the Quad is something that India seems to be investing more attention in. Do these primarily seemingly maritime relationships have some use at all in dealing with what seems to be a two-front challenge on our land borders?
Yeah, I think that's a tricky one, Anant. And that's what many of us fear. I speak to a lot of people and they say, while Quad is fine and it can always put external pressure, but is it really something which would help us on a crisis on the land borders? Mm-hmm. That's something to be seen. Personally, my fear is that for the kind of small land grabbing that the Chinese do, or the salami slicing, or whatever phrase you want to use, the way they do it, the pressure that the Quad can put would be much, much lesser and would be of much less use. The crisis on the land borders, and I believe the Indian establishment is cognizant of that, will have to be dealt by the Indians themselves, whether it is Indian diplomats, whether it is the Indian military or the Indian political leadership. I think the fact that we are the only country in the Quad which has land borders with China and a disputed land border with China, that's something which India will have to perhaps deal with on its own. But that is not to say that it does not put any pressure on China or Pakistan at all. It does put pressure on China and Pakistan, but small issues like the 2020 Ladakh crisis or a crisis of similar nature, India would have to eventually be prepared to deal with it on its own.
Sushant Singh, thank you so much for joining the Hindu In Focus podcast. It's been 1 year since we've been covering the line of actual control crisis. We've had you on this podcast before, and I'm sure you will be back on this to help us make sense of this very difficult time in India's relationships with China, with Pakistan. Thank you, as always, for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Anand. It's a pleasure, as always, being on your podcast. Thanks a lot.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.